They say so many things in so many ways. It's even a type of sense gratification. It's to see. I have heard this, and you hear this. This is what it was. And so many people talking so many things about so many people in so many ways, in so many places, all the time. But is it true? Do we know? It's not just the case, it's not just creating a lie, but it's also repeating a lie. Everybody becomes incriminating in immorality. Therefore, before we speak, we should actually investigate our heart and we should understand if it's true. The highest truth is that the people will of Krishna. That is the absolute truth. That is the most honest way of life. If we repeat the word of Krishna and see Bhagavati, Krishna, Bhagavatam, then we know what we are saying is absolutely, perfectly true for all eternity. But when we come down on the mundane level, then there are so many relative truths that we have to discriminate what is real and what is unreal. In this way, rumors, gossip, all sorts of speculations, it ruins unity and faith. Because when these things are promoted, no one can trust each other anymore. And who are the persons that trust each other the least? The people who are spreading the rumors. One person has a motive and presents things a certain way according to what's that most politically effective. And the other people who are also assisting in this regard, they all know that each other are speculating. They all know that they're exaggerating. They know that they're not giving the real content of truth. So as long as they're on the same side, they work together. But in their hearts, they have no trust for each other because they know what they're doing together. This is politics. If you look in the governments today, the big leaders in the Congress or the Senate or whatever country, do they trust each other? It's impossible. Because they're all playing the same political game. But here it is explained that Devaki, she was a very good politician. However, she used her political expertise in the service of Krishna. For the welfare of Krishna, for the welfare of all living beings. She had no selfish motives. She was using political expertise in a mood of a humble, selfless servant of the Lord. With no ego, no desire. This is called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is the perfection of renunciation, but it is also very dangerous if it is misinterpreted or abused. And this oftentimes is the case. In the name of Yukta Vairagya, devotees sometimes feel they can get away with anything. Krishna told Arjuna. No, I'm sorry. Krishna told Yudhisthira to lie. So therefore, I can say anything I want, anytime I want, if it meets my personal interests. Because I am authorized to lie. Because I, like Yudhisthira, am a devotee. Hare Krishna. Krishna stole butter. I can steal from any of you, no problem, because it is transcendental. Yukta-Bhaya. We can use anything in Krishna's service. Therefore, I can accept so many opulences and luxuries, and I can accept so many wonderful facilities to make my mind and senses very, very blissful. However, you should understand, it is Yukta-Bhaya. But Yukta-Bhaya has nothing to do with this. Actual yukta vairagya means vairagya. It's not yukta. There's yukta bhoga and yukta. But if you're using something for your sense gratification, if you're using something for your egoistic purposes, that is not yukta vairagya. If you're totally detached from what you have and you're using it exclusively for the service of the Lord, according to the will of the Lord, that is yukta vairagya. From his little rooms in Radha Damodar and Sri Vrindavan Dham, he was living sometimes in beautiful quarters, Los Angeles, Bhaktivedanta Manor, London. But he was not in any way attached to the facility. He was the same as his little room in Radha Damodar. He was the same whether he was living in his beautiful international national headquarters in Los Angeles, as he was when he was living in a little room in the Bowery in New York City. Whatever Krishna had given him, he was using exclusively with full heart to preach Krishna consciousness, to help others become Krishna conscious. Willing to accept or reject whatever is conducive to serving the will of the Lord. Here at Juhu, in order to get this temple that we are now sitting in, Srila Prabhupada used many expert methods. His Holiness Sri Ramaraj knows this story very well. He was here for some of it, I believe. Because they were trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada. But actually, if Prabhupada felt they are trying to cheat me, he would have just let them cheat. Devotees don't care if you, we shouldn't care if you cheat me of anything material. But they were trying to cheat his Guru Maharaj's mission, the property of Krishna. Trying to cheat the whole world of a wonderful facility to give them bhakti. So out of compassion and love, Srila Prabhupada went through so many methods to somehow or other secure this property. From what I have been told, he used all sorts of legal arrangements, business arrangements, political arrangements, but somehow or other for the service of Krishna, for the service of the Vaishnavas, in compassion to the world. Wow, so many millions of people are coming and hearing the glory of the holy name. Ramananda Rai, Srila Prabhupada explained, he was expert in the art of diplomacy, but he used it for Krishna's service. So this politics is sometimes very necessary to achieve the fulfillment Krishna's desire and our service to him. However, it is also the most dangerous and deadly activity if it is abused. You know what I explained? If a soldier goes into the battlefield with his sword and kills thousands of people, he comes back and gets medals, awards, and praise for being a great hero. But then if with that same weapon he kills one person of his own kingdom, he is hanged. He may say to the judge, I killed thousands and you honored me. Here I killed one and you want to kill me. meaning.
Why?
Because you were authorized by the government to kill them. It was your duty. But this you have done for your own personal interest, so you must pay the price.
So in Krishna consciousness, this principle is also there.
When we use politics for the purpose of protecting Krishna's mission, protecting Srila Prabhupada's will, then we will be glorified in this world and the next. However, as soon as we use those same tendencies or techniques for our own personal interests, by the laws of material nature, being conducted by Krishna's own lotus hand himself, you will be crushed. You will be punished. So we have to be very, very careful to follow in the footsteps of Devaki and not Kamsa. They were both expert politicians. Kamsa did it for his own purpose, and Devaki was doing it for Krishna's service. He perfectly utilized the three principles of politics. First, she made Kamsa feel very bad. Then she made Kamsa relieved. Then she asked for a gift. Very expert. Politics is based on a very good understanding of human psychology. First, she said to Kamsa, "You have killed my six children. Atrociously murdered them." To make him feel guilty. But then she said, "But actually, Kamsa ji, you didn't do it. You didn't do anything wrong at all. It was destiny that did it. You were just an instrument of destiny." So then Kamsa was feeling, "Oh, already? I am not responsible." She has understood like this. And then she says, "Now please, please give me this one gift. I have no children. Let me at least love and care for this baby girl, who is not meant to do it all." The Prabhupada in the purport explains how Devaki, she was aware of the higher reality of destiny. One of the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. That one who suffers terrible tribulations in life, but with a grateful heart, understands that this is just my destiny. This is the reaction to my own karma. Such a person does not blame anyone for any injustices upon himself or herself, but rather blames oneself. It is our duty to protect others from injustice. But according to this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever injustices come upon ourselves, we shouldn't think, "Why are you doing this to me?" Rather, we should think, "Why did I do this to me? Somehow or other, I have behaved in such a way that destiny is sending as reaction to my own activities this person or this arrangement to make me suffer." Sometimes there's disease of the body. Sometimes there's harm caused by other living beings. The most harmful, or should I say the most painful, is when it comes from people you love. God brothers, God sisters. Sometimes even they accuse you or attack you. Not to speak of people in general, or insects or animals, or natural disturbances. So the natural tendency in material consciousness is to want to blame everyone except oneself.
If you're not to blame, you want the whole world to know it. And if you are to blame, you want to somehow rather shift that blame to someone else. But a devotee lives by this principle, the pain of considers, whatever happens, I'm to blame. Externally, superficially, this person may be to blame. But why? Why is it coming to me? Why not someone else? Because I deserve it. In fact, the devotee, no matter what difficulty he or she is in, thinks, I deserve so much worse. This is just a small little token expression of Krishna's mercy. Just give me a little. I cut my finger. I should have had my head cut off. This is how a devotee naturally thinks. What is Krishna's the cause of all causes? And Krishna is never unjust. So therefore, the idea of justice and injustice must be dealt with. However, in one's own personal life, we should have a deeper understanding. And that is what Deva did. She forgave her brother. You killed my 6 sons? It's all right. You are forgiven. It's not your fault. It's my fault. It was my destiny that I deserved it. And actually, at one point, Kamsa even said like this. But there's a difference. When Kamsa said it, he was a rascal. When David said it, she was a self-realized soul. At one point, Kamsa said to Vasudeva, he said, actually, it was destiny that killed all these children. And Vasudeva said, yes, yes, it is true. What is the difference? Kamsa was willing to hold everyone else responsible except himself. And Vasudeva and Devaki were only themselves responsible. But in this consciousness, a devotee and fully powerful takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality, knowing him to be the doer of the cause of all causes and the most merciful friend of the devotee. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies. Each of them is bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as your gift. Devaki is manifesting such wonderful, wonderful qualities of a true devotee of the Lord. Being very practical and trying to somehow or other fulfill her service, but at the same time doing it with such a deep transcendental state of consciousness. And this is very important to all of us. We have so many day-to-day services we have to perform, and sometimes we have to deal with so many difficulties or controversies. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, do the needful, utility, the principle. Prabhupada wanted them to be very expert in doing the needful. Whatever had to be done, it should be done expertly. But at the same time, unless we are every day very sincerely and attentively chanting the holy names, which was the other part of Srila Prabhupada, he didn't just say, do the needful, utility is the principle. That was part. He also said, purity is the force, books are the basis, teaching is the essence. were chanting very, very sincerely every day. We were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam very sincerely every day. We were following the Lord with the principles very carefully throughout our lives. We were sincerely, with humility, trying to be the servant of the Lord. That is basic. If we are not doing all those things very, very carefully, then, and we just try to do the needful, we will do it in the wrong consciousness. And to do anything in the wrong consciousness is not needed at all. Ultimately, doing the needful means we can only be a success in the true sense, spiritual sense, if we please Krishna. What's ultimately needful is to please Krishna, to please Srila Prabhupada, to please the previous acharya. So what is the needful? To chant every day, follow the principles very carefully, to hear Bhagavatam and to be the servant of the servant. That's what's needful. As the basic foundation of our spirituality. And then in our practical service, we must also, on that foundation, we must do the needful. That means we may have to be, in a selfless spirit of devotion, we may have to be political. But not with duplicity, with simplicity. We may have to be very expert. It's like that story, 26 Second Avenue. I don't remember the exact figures, but in general, one devotee, a new devotee, he became crazy, and he decided to kill himself. So he came before Srila Prabhupada and said, "Can you give me $2, because I want to buy petrol to cover my body, to burn myself, till I die." Prabhupada said, "You don't need $2 of petrol to burn your body. All you need is 50 cents of petrol." So Srila Prabhupada said, "You did it." Of course, he did not do it. And the person never did. But still, it's an interesting story. Our Prabhupada did not want to waste anything. It was very much against wastage. You have all heard the story. He was taking morning walk and he just saw some person's water spigot. It was running and the water was just being wasted. So Srila Prabhupada went all the way over there and turned it off. You cannot waste Krishna's water. So this is being expert. Understanding how precious and sacred everything of Krishna's is. Not using it for our sense gratification, not using it for our own positioning, but at the same time, very, very carefully protecting it and utilizing it so it will have the maximum effect. Srila Prabhupada, we know the story. When he was in New York City in the Lower East Side, if someone would send him a letter, he wouldn't even go out and buy paper. He would take the inside of the envelope of the person that sent the letter, and he would write the letter on the inside of the envelope, the reply. He did not want to waste even one paisa, because it's Krishna's energy. So yes, we should become very, very expert and very Krishna conscious. Rupa Goswami explains, to be Krishna conscious means to be very, very conscious in even our most ordinary daily activities. Conscious of utilizing it for Krishna. That is why the deity worship is so purifying to the consciousness. Because when we're worshiping the deity properly, at every second, there's so many rules and regulations to make sure we're thinking of purification. We're saying the Ajna, We're saying a mantra for every offering. If we touch anything, we have to be very purified our hands. There's all these rituals are so conducive to just making you so completely absorbed in thinking how I at every moment have to be conscious of what I'm doing and be very, very pure. And it's very excellent training. If we extend that consciousness to every moment of our day. Very, very careful at each moment to speak properly, to act properly, to think properly, both in the deepest spiritual sense as well as in the more apparently relative sense, to get the best possible results in our activities, which are offerings for the pleasure of Sri Guru. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Here in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada writes, I will learn from the history of the Mahabharata, our great Priya, the wife and the daughter of the ruling class, the Kshatriya, knew the political game. But we never find that a woman was given the post of chief executive. This is in accordance with the injunction of Manu Samhita. But unfortunately, Manu Samhita is now being insulted, and the Arya, the member of Vedic society, cannot do anything. I want you to explain a little bit on this point, because I remember once we were kind of against women liberation, but now so many messages coming on women liberation, and even in our society we see that many Mataji or the GBC, they appointed them as GBC. So it's like a little bewildering. Is it that we are not the follower of Manu Samhita, or we are above that, or like, are we not the member of the society? Like, why we are doing so?
The next part of this is, such is the nature of Kali Yuga. To your question, the Manu Samhita does not say that a woman should not be given the post of GBC. It says the post of chief executive, that means the leader of the nation, king, post of chief executive, it's a very high political position. Of course, she was wrong. That's happening all over the world. But it doesn't necessarily say that a woman should not be given any leadership. Does that work that explains here? Post of chief executive. In his own time, he gave ladies very, very high responsible positions also. I think that we should not mix up what Manu Samhita is saying with something that's not saying. In fact, at one time, Srila Prabhupada actually recommended a woman to be a GBC. That is the history that I've heard again. But it didn't happen. But to make a woman actually Dhanava Devi, she was an Acharya. Higher than the GBC. The Devi was the consort of Lord Vyananda Prabhu, with the great day of China, in the spiritual sense. He had so many disciples, even some of the greatest Mahabharatas, like Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, worshipped her as their superior. But yet she never lost her natural, humble, womanly qualities. Although she had such a high position as a great acharya, she was still such a humble, motherly person. She didn't assume that position. She was given that position because of her spiritual qualities. Even though she was poor, she would still cook for the devotees and personally serve them out, preside. Like a mother, very happy when they would eat nice preside. So she was so humble servant. But at the same time, she was given such a high position in the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. She was leader of all the Vaishnavas. Similarly, Gaudiya Goswami, she was practically guru for a king. Srinivasacharya, she also had souls in the thousands of dollars and disciples, and a very great personality. So these are extraordinary situations, no doubt, on the basis of a particular person's spiritual qualities. But I believe what Nāra Sanhita is talking about is, according to what Śrīla Prabhupāda is saying, we never find, we're talking about kshatriyas here. The wives and daughters of the ruling class, the kshatriyas, knew the political game, but we never find that a woman was given the post of chief executive. That means leader of government. It's possible that when Prabhupada was writing this book, it was like that in India. There you go. Making a very serious point here. But I don't think we should apply it where it's not necessarily meant to be applied. Does that answer your question? Does that answer your question?
Kind of.
That means you are being kind of me? Any other questions?
You read the previous verse translation and described that how you keep offering to Kamsa that this daughter, this girl can become your daughter-in-law, putra vadhu. So how can you please elaborate how she can become, was that kind of marriage is allowed in the Vedic time? Sister, cousin sister's daughter can become the brother's son's wife. Is it allowed now?
According to Maharaj, the bonafide born in, who has transcended to the Vaishnava stage, he said it is allowed in Hindu society even today. Yes? I inform you. You know better than me. I can honestly say that all I know is that Devaki is saying it, it must be right. I will go beyond that. No, please.
Some families, some communities, they don't allow. Some allow. What is the Vedic
I do not know all the intricacies of marriage rules. My inclination is to remain somewhat ignorant on these subjects. Yes, Devaki Ramamurti.
Oh yes, Devaki Ramamurti. Krishna allows Subhadra to marry Arjuna. That will like me.
Very well.